You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight. That's right, lose weight without dieting and get on with your life, because that is what it is all about, right? I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to call in today and talk with me, the number here in the studio is 818-570-5085. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food, the real problem is not food. It's what's eating at you. So feel free also to call me anytime. Some people have said they don't want to interrupt me as I'm talking, but please, I would rather hear from you. I can always go back to what I am talking about. So call me anytime that is convenient for you. Okay, so I asked my Facebook group what they wanted help with, and I got a couple of answers. Sabrina said she was mad over yesterday's binge. And Barbara said she wants help putting anxiety issues away, having a new way to deal with stuff. Should she do it all together, anxiety-producing things? Should she do it all together or one by one? Okay, so great questions. I'm sure that a lot of people can relate. So let's take Sabrina's comment. She's mad over yesterday's binge. Well, here, whoop, hold on. I have a call. Hi there. Welcome to the show. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me? All right, caller, maybe you could not hear me. I could hear you, but feel free to call back. Hopefully that was just there. I think that's her again. Hi there, can you hear me now? Ronan, if you're listening to this,
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me? All right. Ronan, if you're listening to this, maybe we can resolve what's going on. I could hear her. She could not hear me. All right. Ronan is coming to the rescue. All right, let's see. All right, so while we wait for Ronan to fix the issue, he deserves like a superhero cape, because whenever technical things happen, he can always resolve them. So no pressure, Ronan. Hopefully you can resolve this one too. He's gonna let me know when it's okay. Okay, so Sabrina, as I'm waiting for Ronan to fix things, Sabrina, she said she was mad over yesterday's binge. So here's the thing. When you're mad at yourself, what happens? Do you feel better? No, you feel worse. You feel terrible, and then you're more likely to binge again just to get away from your own mean voice. Here comes Ronan. Okay, I'll keep going. So the key is to be curious, not critical. Because being mad at yourself is being critical, then you feel terrible. And then if you don't yet have other coping strategies to deal with what's going on inside, then you're going to be really vulnerable to using food to cope again. And Ronan has fixed it. So if you're listening, caller who tried twice, please try again. This time it should work. He says it's all fixed. So if you're using food to cope with uncomfortable feelings, and then you're making yourself feel bad by getting mad at yourself, naturally things are going to go get worse, or just the cycle's going to continue. So what to do? Be curious, not critical. Curiosity helps you figure out the reason that you are binging. And believe me, it doesn't have to do with because I'm addicted to whatever it is that you ate. There is some reason that may be hidden from you, maybe outside your conscious awareness, but there is a reason that you were doing it. And if you are, here, I recognize this number. Hi, Nicole.
Hello, Dr. Nina.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a few things I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
We both are going to sound crazy because, you know, some of the crazy things go on in my head. I mean, I guess I'm not the only one, but okay, anyways, here I go. So the first thing is, I don't think I have, like, body dysmorphia. I don't think that, like, I think I'm fat or anything like that, but I've been thinking about cutting my hair. And, like, in my head, I'm thinking, well, if I cut my hair, I want to make it, like, shorter because I have, like, I don't know, medium to longer hair right now. I'm like, oh, I'm going to look, I don't know, I'm going to look fat, or, like, my face is round, or, like, oh, then I'm going to have to lose weight so that I look good with my new haircut. And I know that's kind of, like, weird thinking.
Well, let's not judge it. Let's try to understand it. Why?
Okay.
So what is your fear is that if you cut your hair somehow, if you have shorter hair, somehow you'll look bigger.
Yeah.
Why are you wanting, first of all, what's motivating you to want to cut your hair in the first place?
I guess my boyfriend and I were watching a movie, and Charlize Theron in the movie has, like, short hair. And I guess even before, like, we were talking about how he thinks I would look good with, like, a bob cut. And then on Saturday night, we went to a restaurant, and the hostess actually had really nice haircut that wasn't bob, so it wasn't super short and it wasn't super long, but it was like a long bob, but still not like long hair. So we really like that, and I'm like, oh my god, I love your haircut. And then to my boyfriend, I was like, that's the haircut I want. But now I'm thinking in my head, well, if I get that, I don't know, what if it doesn't look good on me? What if I look fat? Then it's like this pressure of, like, losing weight and looking thinner.
Okay, so let me clarify. Do you want to cut your hair, or do you think your boyfriend wants you to cut your hair?
He wants me to cut my hair.
Do you?
I want to cut my hair, but I'm not sure yet. So why should I go forward with something that I'm not sure about just because he wants me to do it?
There you go.
Right?
Yes. So that's one part of it. Exactly. Do it because you want to do it, not because somebody else wants you to do it or you think someone else wants you to do it. The second is, I wonder if there's something about, you know, change, so there's this idea of if you change your hair, your body will look different.
Yeah.
Where does this idea come from, do you think? What are your associations to if you change something, your body will look different? Did you have any haircuts in the past that caused trauma as a kid?
Yeah, when I was 10 years old, I was getting ready to go to my grandmother's house for, like, Shabbat dinner, and the brush got stuck in my hair. The brush got stuck in my hair. And so my dad cut my hair. It got stuck, like, really, like, it got stuck to, I don't know. I was blow drying and it got stuck, and my dad cut my hair super short. And I think I was traumatized for that. And I was like, you know, I told you, like, the chubby kid. And then I had, like, this short haircut. I don't know. And then also maybe just hearing my mom say, like, oh, short haircut, I don't know, looks good on people. Or I don't know, like, models have short haircuts. Okay. Maybe I just associate short haircuts with people who are thin and model-esque. And,
okay.
I don't know.
Well, there you go. See, when you ask yourself the right questions, you find, or you answer the right question, you find the answer. So why do you have this association? Well, you had this at the age of 10, you felt chubby and you were kind of shamed for being chubby or whatever they thought was chubby.
Whether you were chubby or not remains subjective,
but let's just say you were. So somehow there were some fusions of, you know, that short, sudden haircut. And again, your dad cut your hair. Your boyfriend wants you to cut your hair. I'm not sure there's a relationship there, actually, as I say that. But that there was some shame of having to suddenly show up to Shabbat dinner. And maybe there were comments made. I don't know. You fused that with the idea that your mom said, which she seems to have some, let's say, odd beliefs. And one of them is, well, only skinny model types can have short hair. And so then it would make sense that your mind today would say, what if I expose the fact that I'm not a 8 foot tall, 23 pound person. So,
yeah. And another thing I just thought of as you were talking is also, like, I think about my aunt, and out of, like, everyone in my family, she has the shortest hair, and she's the one that did the, remember I told you she made her stomach the size of an egg or whatever when they cut her stomach, remember? I mean, I feel like I said that sometime on the show.
Yes.
Anyways, so yeah, maybe I also associate, you know, short haircuts with her and, like, her losing weight. I don't know. I mean, it's all coming together.
Yes. So you see, calling this crazy, you know, before you called in, I was talking about be curious, not critical. Calling yourself crazy doesn't help, right? It just makes you feel bad. But when you say, why am I having this association? This is weird to me. Yeah. This is odd to me. What's going on?
Yeah.
Then it makes sense.
Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy. You're right. It's like, if you're just curious, why am I having these thoughts? And then you explore it and you understand why these thoughts are going on in your head or why you have these associations, then it makes sense. Then you don't think you're crazy.
Exactly. Now you can decide to cut your hair or not cut your hair based on you know, what you want today without being haunted by the ghosts of the past shaming you.
Yeah. And then the other thing, just so that I said everything, is that I also have curly hair. So I feel like if you want to go with a short haircut, you have to have it straight all the time. But I guess that's not even really, that's like a side thing. I don't think that's really associated to this at all.
That means, and by the way, there's someone else who's trying to call right now. If you're listening, if you're listening, just wait till I get off the call with Nicole, because I can't put you on hold, new caller. So that is how that has to do with finding a really good hair stylist, right?
Yeah.
And just finding someone.
Like, I was going to say curly hair. Like, maybe I'm thinking also curly hair curly hair makes you look fat or bigger because it has, like, volume. And I guess as a kid, I had curly hair. And so I guess it's kind of the same. I mean, I think it's related to being that, like, you know, chubby kid and then having curly hair and then my dad cutting it when I was 10.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe all of that.
Yes. So all of these ideas get kind of bound up in your head like reality, and you have to question them and recognize where they come from and tease them apart as you are doing now. And now, hey, you can go and cut your hair or do it in stages, you know, cut it shorter and then shorter again, or whatever works for you, and feel confident about it rather than impose all of this fat phobia onto it, which comes from the past, which comes from shame from the past.
Yeah. And then, okay, so thank you so much for that. That all makes, can I ask more?
Sure.
Okay. The other thing is, that feels so good though, by the way. Now I can go and make a decision about cutting my hair. Like, I don't know. I just feel really good. That was really great, Dr. Nina. And we did that in 9 minutes. Okay, anyway. My dad texted me yesterday and he's like, "Hey, Nicole, is everything okay? I'm worried about you." You lost so much weight. Your face looks so skinny. Is everything okay? I don't know. Maybe he's just, like, checking in. But, like, I don't feel like... I definitely know that I've dropped a little bit of weight.
Okay. But let's... Let's stick with the concern. Maybe you tell you if your dad can only see things in terms of weight, just as your mom can only see things in terms of weight, then why don't you call him and say, why would you, what do you think is wrong, or reassure him, or whatever. Because losing weight in itself is not necessarily cause for alarm unless you're also withdrawn and unhappy, where it seems to me that you're getting happier and happier with this new guy. So so maybe have a conversation with your dad and say, why do you, what makes you think, other than the number on the scale, that I'm unhappy?
I think when he's stressed or he's working a lot, he loses weight. So maybe he's associating the same thing with me. So I just reassured him and I said, Dad, everything's fine. I'm happy. And he's like, let's do dinner, you and me. I said, sure, let's do dinner whenever. So maybe he just wants to check in. Maybe it's not so like.
Maybe he only feels he could check in if he's worried or something like that.
Worried, that's true.
Well, it sounds like.
And then.
So I just want to invite other people to call back when I'm done talking with Nicole. So Nicole, you had one more thing to talk about.
I was gonna say, so just I remember we were last week I called in and I was talking about how like going back and forth from my parents' house to my boyfriend's house and all that stuff, and I don't know. Actually, I don't think I said this, but I think he saw that I was under distress because I don't know. It's just like, it's a hard adjustment, not feeling like I have somewhere that's mine, but like a place that's my parents and a place that's his. And so he kind of like invited me to move in, and it was kind of, I don't know. It was a lot, but I went back home and I don't know what I'm trying to ask or say.
It sounds like there's a part of you that, from what our previous conversations, that doesn't want to just move from your parents' house to your boyfriend's house and doesn't want to do it if you're not engaged. I've heard you speak about a part of you that wants to just have an independent life, have your own space before you share space again.
Yeah.
So that's something I would think about.
Yeah, but I think we kind of explored that, and I don't think that it makes the most financial sense. But then again, you can't really put a price on mental well-being, right?
Exactly.
But I guess it's more about, like, I don't know, like, I went home on Monday night, and it was, like, my mom shoving food, like, you know, like, taking everything out of the refrigerator and putting it on the counter to feed me and my sister when we're both like, okay, we're adults, we can feed ourselves.
Well,
she's a Jewish mother, what do you expect? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And just like, I don't know, just having a lot of anxiety around food when I am at home. And like, I don't know, waking up in the morning and going in the kitchen to have breakfast. And it's like, everyone's talking to me. And then I end up, you know, eating more than I want to eat just out of like, I don't know, like anxiety or.
So, first of all, I have to say your mom gives you mixed messages. On the one hand, she's always talking about how, dirt should be on her head. She should be dead because she ate something. But on the other hand, she's pushing food at you. I think you have to listen. So my advice is this. Listen to the part of you that knows what's right for you. Often we have that part, whether it's intuition or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we don't want to know what we know. But you have to listen to it, and rather than appease other people, just practice this week listening to that voice. Don't make a decision. Just listen to that voice and try to hear what it is telling you. And call me back next week, and we can have a longer conversation about it, okay?
But, and you said, listen to the voice that's telling me what's
knows,
right for me.
The inner
Is that what you said?
Yeah, the innermost voice that knows innermost. What's right
yeah.
for you. Sometimes we don't want to hear that voice because we don't like what it has to say. But
inner voice that knows what's right for me.
Yeah,
knows what's
even
right
if
for
another
me.
Part of you okay. doesn't want to listen, just try to listen to
okay.
it. Just see what it has to say. That's
okay.
what's right for
you. Thank
you
so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, hey, you're welcome.
Talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. So, a lot going on there, but you could see that was a really good illustration of how when you're curious and not critical, you find answers. So, Sabrina, and anyone who can relate to being mad over yesterday's binge, ask yourself, what was going on yesterday? What problem was I trying to resolve through food? Now, that may seem like a strange question. What problem were you trying to resolve through food? But again, if you're turning to food, you're turning away from something else. You are trying to comfort yourself. You are trying to numb yourself, distract yourself, something. So, you know, what was going on with me? And often that's where my food mood formula comes in, where I talk about it a lot in my book, The Binge Cure. One of the steps to outsmarting emotional eating is to recognize what's eating at you. And often we get so quick at turning to food. We don't even know what's actually triggering us. We think food is the trigger. No, there's some trigger that's leading us to food. So the food mood formula is tying certain kinds of foods to certain kinds of moods. Because in all the time that I've been seeing patients and talking to clients in my online program, I noticed certain correlations. When they wanted comfort, they turned to things like ice cream. So smooth, creamy kind of textures like that, pudding, ice cream, frozen yogurt, stuff like that, that is associated with a need for comfort. So if those are your go-to, then what you need to do is find a new way to comfort yourself. The other category are filling foods that take up space within you. And that's bread, pasta, pizza, muffins, cake, all that kind of stuff. Things that take up space indicate some kind of a void in your life. So if those are your go-tos, ask yourself, be curious, what is missing in my life? What is the void? What is the empty space in my life? And then you're going to figure out how to fill that in different ways, with relationship, with relating to yourself differently, filling the void rather than filling it symbolically. And the last category is anything crunchy, chips, pretzels, anything with a bite, even carrots. That's associated with anger. So if that's your go-to, ask yourself, if you were not angry with yourself for eating said chips, who or what would you be angry with? Often we get a message, especially as women, oh, no, don't be angry. That's not nice. Being angry is not nice. It's somehow unseemly. Don't be mad. Nice girls don't get mad. And they become nice women who don't get mad. Well, guess what? We get mad because we're human. We get angry. We get pissed off. And all too often that is threatening. So it gets turned against ourselves. We get mad at ourselves rather than, hey, this person is upsetting me. This situation is upsetting me. So finding a new way to acknowledge and process your anger rather than expressing it with crunchy food and then getting mad at yourself is key. So Sabrina, instead of being mad over yesterday's binge, ask yourself, why did it happen? What was going on? What problem did it resolve? Because food is not the problem. Food is the solution to the problem. Barbara said that she wants help putting anxiety issues away. And should she deal with stuff all together or one by one? Well, it's putting anxiety issues away sounds a lot like, you know, dropping them or letting them go. I often hear people say, I just need to let this go. Well, you know, how do you let something go? You can't let a feeling go. It's not something you could just drop like a pen, like I just did. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this, well, I just dropped a pen. That's letting something go. Other than that, you can't let a feeling go. The only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. As counterintuitive as that sounds, the only way to get rid of feelings is to actually feel them. And by the way, I know a couple of people had tried to call while I was talking to Nicole. I want to invite you again to call in. The number is 818-570-5085. Feel free to call me and ask me anything. Okay, so how do you deal with anxiety? You can't drop it. You can't let it go. You also can't stuff it down. You can't do anything about it other than go through it. So thoughts and beliefs lead to feelings, lead to behavior. Some thought or belief creates the anxiety, and then the behavior, eating, binging, whatever, is a way of responding to the anxiety. So that's why if we just deal with the behavior, guess what? Nothing ever happens. That's why willpower doesn't work. I mean, it works as long as you're white knuckling it, but who wants to go through life white knuckling it? A couple of calls all of a sudden. Let's see. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hello, Dr. Nina.
Is this Nick?
This is Nick.
Nick.
I'm rather late than never.
Oh, it's so good to hear from you, Nick.
I know. I've been running around and trying to get to the phone and the phone number. And here I am. I'm so glad to hear your voice. And here I am. Am I all right?
You are coming through. You are just more than all right. You are fabulous. In fact, wait a minute. You are wonderful.
That's great.
What's going on, Nick?
Oh, it's just being crazy. I mean, so much is going on. How do I say this? Okay, we've talked about weight, and I talked about so long about I don't judge myself on my weight. I'm not gain weight. I'm not a bad guy. Okay, I don't judge myself on a scale. I don't get on a scale. And I do that, okay?
Which, wait a minute, I just want to say, we have a lot of new listeners, and I just have to say people who are new listeners, there was a time, Nick, you would agree, that you felt like you were not a good person or a lovable or likable person anymore if you gained weight. And you were always on the scale. So just you sort of casually saying, hey, you're no longer the bad person if you gain weight and you're not always on the scale, which you were on 20 times a day, that is so significant. And I think you should be super proud of yourself for that. That's huge.
Yes. And I feel great about it. And it took a lot of work, but I feel good about it. But I'm coming around in a strange way to talk to you about something.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know if this is a bad thing, good thing. It's just a real thing. Chris, who is my partner, and we've lived together for a while, broke her wrist and hand and had a cast and very frustrated. And then when this is frustrating, she's been eating a lot, okay? Hmm. And it's very frustrating to me. But she has, to me, gained a lot of weight. Okay? And I see it, and it's frustrating to me. And sometimes it's affecting me in the relationship.
When you say it's frustrating... Oh, sorry. Go on.
No. It just really has, and I don't know exactly what to do. I've tried things like, hey, I put on some weight. You put. Why don't we go on a diet together? Or why don't we go on an exercise thing together, walking together? Why don't we try to do it as a together kind of thing? And it really hasn't, because she's in pain and she eats all day. I mean, she just, whatever, grabs treats all day long. I'm not doing that. But she does. I mean, we've got treats all over the place. It's amazing. And you know how my place is anyways, which I don't want to get into, but it's
So Nick, here's my question. Okay. What? So you know how I've been saying, if you turn to food, you're turning away from something else. So her eating is not the problem. Her eating is the solution to the problem. What's the problem?
Well, her problem is probably her cast that's driving her crazy.
Is she bored?
Is
she bored? What, you know, what does it mean to her? That
I think it's a cast. She's in constant pain with the cast. It's really bothering her. It's rubbing her arm at night. She's in pain. She's in pain and frustrated that she's had the last cast on here for 4 weeks. Finally, we're going in on Friday to get it off and hopefully take an x-ray that she doesn't need to have a cast anymore. But or have surgery, but I don't think surgery is it. But that's her frustration. That's obvious that you can see.
Okay, so the so if food is the solution to the problem, and the problem is her pain, her frustration, perhaps her boredom. You know, if you've got a cast and you're in pain, you can't do the things that you can normally do. Then what if you address the actual problem rather than the solution to the problem?
Oh, how do you suggest I do that?
You say, hey, are you, you know, looks like you're bored. Let's do something other than watch TV, or come take a walk with me, or, maybe if you want to do something with your hand, say crocheting or knitting, but then I realized, no, she's got a cast, so that wouldn't work out too well. But you see what the problem, and maybe talk to her too. What's going on? You know, this, like, instead of this nervous, anxious, bored snacking, talk to me. What's going on? What's it like for you to have this cast? In other words, let her communicate herself rather than take action over it, because she's eating for a reason. And even if she's bored, then hey, let's go do something. Let's go do something that you can do with your cast. And help her find another way of dealing with whatever it is that's going on other than using food.
Okay, that's good. You're good.
Well, yeah. Hopefully this helps. I'm happy to help. But of course, we can understand part of your frustration is that she has the opposite relationship with food that you had, right? You agonized over it. You would gain weight and be horrified by it. It preoccupied you. And from what you're saying, she's just like eating away, merrily eating away, not worrying about it. And sometimes when people have the opposite way of coping than what we have, it's just galling. It's just maddening, even if it's someone we love. So recognize that there's a reason for your frustration with her and why you're so upset. She's just, not worried. She's eating whatever she wants, whereas you, worried so much about it. So that's, understand your own sense of frustration that goes beyond whatever pounds she's gained. But in terms of what to do, address the reason why she's eating, not that she's eating.
That's good. That's a great way of looking at it that I haven't. And again, you give me a new way of looking at it and addressing it that way and making it work for both of us. Dr. Nina, you are the greatest.
Thank you,
Nick.
You
are absolutely the greatest. People that are on this phone are so lucky.
Well, thank you.
Miss you.
Thank you for your kind words. I am so happy to hear from you. Please don't wait months and months and months before calling back. I have had people say, is Nick okay? What happened to Nick? He used to call all the time. And I say, I don't know what happened to Nick. I hope he's okay. So, you know, please let me know how it goes. Me and all the people who are listening who are saying, what happened to Nick? What's going on? What's the latest?
That guy? Yeah. He died in a chocolate factory. I don't know.
We want to hear. So I'm so glad you called. Call me back and let me know how it goes, all right?
I definitely will.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take good care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Aw. So great to hear from Nick. He used to call all the time, and then it's been nothing for a while, but always good to hear a familiar voice or a new voice. So, again, I know that some people were trying to call earlier. We only have about 11 minutes left of the show. So if you have a quick call me, you know, I have time. If you call now, we can talk about whatever's going on. If not, call me next week, 818-570-5085. Okay, so use the food mood formula the next time you go to grab some chips or the next time you go and get some ice cream. Oh, and by the way, a lot of times those categories are overlap. Like, I mean, you know, people say to me, well, what do you mean? I ate the whole kitchen. I ate the pasta and the ice cream and the chips. Well, there's usually one category, one go-to category, but that is more predominant than the others. So that is the main category to look at. But if it's all three, then guess what? You need to learn to comfort yourself, to fill that void, that empty place, to express your anger. Some people say they can't have ice cream without crunchy nuts in it. So it's like, okay, so the main need is for comfort. The secondary need is to express anger. So there you go. There is your formula for figuring out what is going on with you. Okay. Next week, I was going to talk a lot about shame today, but I think I'm going to talk more about shame next week. Talk about happiness today. So here's another from my 100 ways to make peace with food. Happiness is a feeling, not a size. That bears repeating. Happiness is a feeling, not a size. Losing weight does not mean you automatically gain happiness. Stopping binging with willpower does not mean you're going to be happy. Yeah, you might lose weight and that'll make you happy temporarily, but in the meantime, you'll be white-knuckling it, you'll be thinking about food all the time, you'll be shaming yourself, you'll be feeling terrible. That's not exactly a recipe, pardon the expression, for happiness. You can be happy or unhappy at any size. Happiness comes from within. And it is about being in the moment and enjoying life to the fullest, enjoying the people in your life, the places in your life, enjoying being with yourself. There was actually an article that came out today in Shape, all about happiness. And they basically say that there's this goal for happiness and these ideas that people have about happiness that really they're challenging in this article. And one of the points they make is that being happy doesn't mean you always feel good. Bad stuff happens to everyone. And when it does, it's normal to feel sad, irritated, rattled, upset, whatever it is that you're feeling. Being a happy person means having an underlying sense of well-being that lets you return to your baseline of basic happiness more quickly. So a happy person isn't happy all the time. You know, you're essentially happy and then something happens and it's crappy and you feel terrible. And then you feel better again. And it's like the expression, you know, you can't see the hills without the valleys. We don't know we're happy if we don't have times when we're unhappy. So important. They also make the point that your happiness moments are in your control. There is a hedonic treadmill. That's an expression I actually have not heard. It's a theory that suggests that people quickly get used to positive life changes, meaning that if you get a raise and feel elated about it, you're looking for the next thing. Where is it? What's going to make you feel elated? What's going to make you feel super happy? And then, you know, you're constantly on the lookout for that next thing rather than allowing yourself to enjoy life as it is. So they suggest a three-step routine when it comes to happiness. When you feel happy, there are many words for happiness: grateful, relaxed, appreciated, loved, likable, satisfied. Just allow that feeling to permeate. Well, sit on that feeling for a second or two or longer and really feel it in your body. Really let it in. And focus on what's enjoyable about it. Like, savor those happy moments like you would, you know, a beautiful moment with someone you love, right? Savor those moments. Savor those moments and favor them. It helps your brain, right? We have minds, but we also have brains. In this show, I talk a lot about the mind and how it relates with the brain, but every once in a while, we got to look at how the brain impacts the mind. And when you sort of hold those feelings in your body, your brain converts passing experiences into lasting changes in your mind and mood. So says the psychologist in this article. He also says it's okay to ruminate on the past. I wouldn't say ruminate, by the way. I would say it's okay to understand the past. Because I, for example, so much of what affects us in the present comes from the past. Nicole's present day difficulty about will she look bigger if she cuts her hair, which she initially didn't understand, absolutely comes from her past experiences of being humiliated or having her mom say things about skinny models with short hair. That's the only people who could wear those hairstyles, apparently, according to her. So you can see how we are haunted in different ways by our pasts. And so rather than ruminate, which I think is a slightly negative word, it's okay to look at the past. It's important. It's crucial to look at the past and see how it is affecting your present. How is the way that you think about yourself? Where does that come from? It comes from your childhood. It comes from earlier experiences. It comes from the past, the distant past or the more recent past. And so when you look at the past and think about, you know, things that were painful or things that you wish you had done differently, you're helping yourself process the past. You're helping yourself heal the past. And then when you are healing the past, when you have healed, when it is no longer sort of an open wound, when it is a scab or even a scar, then you're less likely to repeat the past. When you resolve feeling, for example, Nicole resolving feeling like all the shame that came from being the chubby kid in the family, when she resolves that, she's going to be much less afraid of being shamed in the present and much less afraid of gaining weight, which is something that Nick did himself. For those of you who remember, Nick used to call, you know, way back in the day when I first started the show, nearly 3 years ago. Crazy. And he felt such shame about gaining weight because to him, he equated it with being the kid, the fat kid who no one liked, at least in his mind. He later found out when he went back to a high school graduation that nobody actually saw him that way. But he felt like the unlovable, unlikable fat kid. So for him, gaining weight was like turning into someone who was unlovable, unlikable. And when he was able to heal the past, his weight was no longer about that. It was just a number on the scale, more or less, as opposed to, how it haunted him and tortured him in the present. So it is very important to look at the past. They make the point that happiness doesn't come from focusing on yourself. There's nothing wrong with treating yourself right, to understanding yourself, to doing all that, but you're likely to boost your mood in the long term by finding ways that you can help others. So true. Being kind to others can actually help reduce social anxiety. So doing things for others can also just make you feel, makes you feel good about yourself, maybe, but it really makes you feel good, happiness. They make the point that there are two types of happiness and both are good. One is what you feel when something makes you happy. You get a fabulous new pair of shoes, you do a great workout, whatever. It makes you happy. The other happiness is what you feel when you're helping others, when you're comforting your kid who woke up in the middle of the night, when you're doing something to make the world a better place or change the life of somebody. Those are deeply fulfilling moments of happiness. So those are some thoughts on happiness. Remember, it is an inside job. It's not something you get from the number on the scale. Not at all. So that is my food for thought for today. Thank you for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I am so glad to spend this hour with you. If you'd like more food for thought, please check out my website, Dr. Nina Inc., and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Nina Inc., DrNinaInc. And when you're on my site, be sure to sign up for my free guides and giveaways so you will be the first to know about the exciting things I have coming up that will help you. See, that makes me happy. Again, thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.